Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I have the wonderful gift of, during the first segment of the program, of interviewing Father Wade Meneses. He's very popular. If you listen to Sacred Heart Radio, you hear him on Tuesdays on the Open Line program. He answers questions live. And he has also been a very popular retreat director at the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center in Spokane, as well as spoken previously at the Inland Northwest Catholic Men's Retreat coming up in October. And he's going to be again speaking this year at that retreat. So that gave me the opportunity to have him come back on. I know you're going to love that interview. And then in the remainder of the program, I'm going to continue to share insights based on questions about married life. And hopefully that'll been, again, be a blessing to you and insights to give you some guidance, some support, encouragement, accountability as you live out your life of faith. All right, back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Tom. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, we love you and thank you and praise you for who you are, for all that you've done for us. Lord, we do thank you for the call that we have as men to lead and provide and protect our families. And I pray that we would come to understand that more fully in every dimension of our lives, the spiritual as well as the material, the human and worldly, as well as the supernatural. Lord, help us to know what to do and give us the grace to know how to do it and then to do it vigorously, quickly, and completely. We do love you, Lord, but we long to know and love and serve you better. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So again, in the program, I'm going to dive right into an interview with Father Wade Meneses. And then after we're done, I'm going to have a chance to offer a couple of comments about what he had to say in the interview, but then I'm going to dive into questions about married life and share with you some insights after celebrating my 31st wedding anniversary with Carrie a couple of days ago and continuing on. And I'm pretty confident I'm going to finish off the questions today. There we go. All right, let's dive into the interview now with Father Wade. Well, let me welcome to the program Father Wade Meneses. He's a father of mercy, and he's well known in the Pacific Northwest. Father, we've had the wonderful blessing of having you come out to give retreats and speak at conferences and do a variety of things, and it's a thrill to be able to welcome you back this October the 3rd to the 5th, this time for, again, the Inland Northwest Men's Retreat, which is a real wonderful, popular event that gathers together men from around the Northwest. So thrilled to have you here to talk about that.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. It's great to be with you. And again, I'm looking forward to being at this men's retreat. Again, it's always a great group of guys who love their Catholic faith, who want to strengthen their Catholic faith. They want to be defenders of the faith. And that's always an inspiration for me. And the other thing that's an inspiration for me about this particular retreat is I see the multi-generational attendees. I might see a father and son, you know, a teenage son. I might see a grandfather, father, and son. You know, I might see a father with two or three of his sons, an elderly father in his, you know, early 80s, still in good health, who's coming to the retreat with his 60-year-old son. So it's always an inspiration to see these kinds of gatherings.
Well, and you know, Father, it's in a gorgeous location out in nature, right there, Camp Luther Haven. It's a favorite landing spot for events like this. It's right on Lake Coeur d'Alene. So it's a beautiful setting. And it's also a setting that doesn't have good internet connection, which I think is probably a huge gift, huh?
Yeah, we want to fast from our devices for that weekend and really enter into the spirituality of the talks being offered by myself and Father James Peake, who's the other speaker. And I'm just really looking forward to this. You know, the retreat this year has a Marian theme on how our Blessed Mother calls her sons to her own divine son, Jesus Christ, to develop a closer relationship with him. You know, she has only one goal and one goal only as the Mother of God. She wants to lead us more closely to her Son, who in turn leads us to the Father in the Holy Spirit, to have that communion with the Blessed Trinity. And our Blessed Mother wants to ensure that she carries out in us what she told all of the wine waiters at Cana. Do whatever he tells you. You know, it's very interesting that St. John's Gospel tells us that she turns to all of the waiters, not just the head waiter, but she turns to all of them and says, "Do whatever he tells you." And why is that? Why did John specifically write it that way as it happened? Because he wants to make it clear that she is mother to us all. She is mother to us all. And of course, at the foot of the cross, our Lord Himself from the cross gives His Blessed Mother to His beloved disciple John, who wrote that gospel. And John, of course, is given to the Blessed Mother as a son. So I'm really looking forward to this theme, how Mary can draw us more closely to her son with such virtues as she demonstrated herself, along with her spouse, her earthly spouse, Saint Joseph, virtues of commitment, fidelity, exclusivity in our calling as Christians. To strive for purity, to strive for moderation in things like you mentioned, you know, smart devices at the beginning of your opening comments there. These are all virtues that we want to strive for, courage and fortitude. And so I'm really looking forward to this gathering of the guys.
You know, Father, every Tuesday you have Open Line Tuesday on EWTN. Folks get to hear that on Sacred Heart Radio on this network for years. And one of the things that's striking about it is that you have to be literally available to whatever's coming. It's not as if you know in advance, here are the 17 questions that are coming at you, but you have to have that radical sense of I'm open to receive whatever it is that is going to come, and I'm going to trust that I'll have the grace to take action. Which strikes me as a very Marian attitude.
Yeah,
Would you talk a little bit about that in terms of the lives of men, like responding and imitating the fiat of our Blessed Mother?
you know, she told Gabriel at the Annunciation, the event of the Sacred Incarnation, let it be done unto me as you have said. And that's fiat in Latin, let it be, right? And so she had a relinquishing of her own self-will to want to do what God was calling her to do through the message of this archangel. And we have to be ready and willing to do the same. Now, Mary lived a very prayerful life. She was already in tune with God. So we want to make sure that we have that foundation as well as men, okay, whether single, whether married, whether consecrated religious, priest or brothers, diocesan or religious. By the way, this is another point about the retreat that I like there in Idaho at Camp Luther Haven, is the fact that it's a retreat that attracts men, yes, but of different states in life. There's singles, there's marrieds, there's divorced living chastely, there's priests who attend. There have been some consecrated brothers in the past who have attended. There have been diocesan priests who have attended, let alone religious order priests. So it's meant for all states in life. And these Marian themes that we're talking about right now of relinquishing to God's will and being in tune with God with a strong prayer life to begin with are all truths that we should have as men and want to prosper in our lives, because these kinds of attitudes, this kind of virtuous living is all tied to what I call the masculine genius. You know, St. John Paul II wrote about the feminine genius, and I believe that if he would have lived longer and didn't have the Parkinson's like he had the Parkinson's at the end of his life, he would have written about the masculine genius. What we know about the feminine genius is that he says women are more by nature, by their very feminine nature as woman, they're more nurturers, comforters, and nesters. But he said a little bit about men as well in talking about the women. He intimated very strongly that men are more providers, protectors, and leaders, right? It doesn't mean that the two sexes, the two genders, cannot share in one another's natural gifts as male and female, because we know the male and female are complementary. All he was saying, St. John Paul II, in those writings on the feminine genius, is that women have their particular gifts of nurturing and comforting and nesting, and men have their particular gifts as providing, protecting, and leading. So of course you can have a woman who is a provider and a protector and a leader as well. We've all heard the phrase mama bear, you know, don't poke mama bear, right? So she's a protector, provider, and leader. And of course, you know, you see these single dads, maybe a young widower, he's no doubt a nurturer, a nester, and a comforter as well. So they can share in one another's natural gifts as masculine and feminine, no doubt. All John Paul II was teaching during these writings on the feminine genius was that these are particular gifts to each gender. And so I really want to bring out at this men's retreat this theme and teach the men how to strive to want to be better protectors, providers, and leaders, even if they're single, even if they're widowers, let alone the marrieds, right? Or if somebody's attending who's a diocesan priest, to be a better provider, protector, and leader of his parish, right? As the Christ figure of the parish, just like the married husband and father is the Christ figure of the home. These are all important themes, and Mary shows us the way, of course, as I've already intimated, coupled with Saint Joseph, her earthly spouse. Her mystical spouse, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to bring in the seven gifts and the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit as well in my talks. Because whenever I talk about the Blessed Mother, I want to talk about her two spouses, her mystical spouse, the Holy Spirit, her earthly spouse, Saint Joseph, the foster father of Jesus. You know, it's beautiful, mysterious language when Mary says to Gabriel, "How can this be? Because I've had no relations with a man." He responds to her very mysteriously, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, Mary. And the one to be conceived in you is from God, okay? And you shall name him Emmanuel." The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, right? It means a protection, a covering. And so this is why the church teaches that there is a mystical marriage and that the Holy Spirit is the mystical spouse of the Blessed Virgin and vice versa. But you also have to talk about our earthly spouse, because the earthly spouse helped form the God-man Jesus Christ in his infancy and in his adolescence and in his teenage years and young adulthood years, until he went public at age 30, according to tradition, with his 3 years of public preaching and teaching till age 33 when he died on the cross. Joseph had a big part in this formation of the God-man Jesus Christ in his sacred humanity. And so we want to look at Mary's earthly spouse as well. But all of this evolves around a Marian theme of how Mary leads us more closely to her son, the chief divine mediator between God and man. And he in turn leads us to the Father in the Holy Spirit.
Well, Father Wade, this strikes me as an amazing gift. Men are not going to receive typical teaching like this just by attending church on a typical basis.
That's my whole point. Diocesan priests shouldn't be afraid to touch upon these themes in a 13-minute homily on Sunday. I mean, we haven't even been together 13 minutes. And a diocesan priest should be able to give that, or a religious order priest for that matter, who's staffing a parish, and there's parishes staffed by religious orders, should be able to give this little 13-minute message around Father's Day, for example, or around Christmas when we're looking at the infancy narratives. So I know what you're saying, don't get me wrong, but this is the kind of evangelization we need.
Well, absolutely, Father. And this is the gift of a retreat, right? They're going to come away from the busyness of daily life. They're going to have a whole weekend. Friday, get there late afternoon on the 3rd. You get to stay till Sunday late morning, and tremendous opportunities to walk together with other men, but being shepherded by you, Father Wade, along with Father Jimmy Peak, and a wonderful opportunity to fellowship together, to support, encourage, and help each other be accountable to godly ideals. Men just are not typically going to have in the ordinary circumstances of their lives an unfolding of content like this that will help them to really advance in their own life of faith. So the Inland Northwest Men's Retreat, guys, you got to go to the website. It's INW, like Inland Northwest, INW, mensretreat.org. And I'll give out that information again, Inland Northwest, Men's Retreat coming up October the 3rd to the 5th with Father Wade Meneses here, a father of mercy. And again, what a gift. He's Father, I'm guessing you're a pretty busy man, a priest of God here in these days. It really strikes me that men are being called to step forward at a whole new level with the variety of challenges that are facing them today. Is that, what do you say to that?
Oh, I think that's definitely true. And more reason to be well equipped in the spiritual life and the temporal life, and how the two meet, how the two merge. You know, the daily rosary means something in regards to strengthening you for your daily work. Wherever that's at, in the office, out in the field, whatever. The daily Divine Mercy chaplet, it helps to support you in your daily contacts with others, you know, to learn to be merciful to others. So a strong spiritual life, monthly confession, weekly Eucharist, you know, to fulfill our Sunday obligation, holy friendships with other men. You know, there's that old maxim, you know, show me your friends and I'll show you your life, right? Or there's that other maxim, garbage in, garbage out, but virtue in, virtue out. So we're going to talk about good, strong camaraderie and fraternity, and why that's important, and how you want to hang out with well-formed men who can help form you. You know, diamond sharpens diamond, right? Iron sharpens iron. And that's the message we want to give to these guys. You know, incidentally, Tom, my newest book is Stand Firm, Be Strong, A Men's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints. It's a 200-day daily devotional written specifically for men, for males, okay? Stand Firm, Be Strong, A Men's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints. And I'm going to make this available to all the men that weekend. And also, by the time the weekend of October 3rd through 5th comes, I will also have a matching T-shirt to go with the book. And the T-shirt will debut at this event. So I'll have plenty of the T-shirts for the guys as well. But it's a 200-day daily devotional where each of the 200 days, which is a six-month period, so it's meant to be a six-month spiritual manual, as I state on the back. It's a six-month spiritual manual. And each of the 200 days has a theme at the top, Tom, like accountability, the importance of monthly confession, the importance of weekly Eucharist, planning your finances well, holy friendships, etc. Commitment. Okay. Each day has a theme at the top. And then three things follow that theme. Three things follow: a scripture quote on that theme, a saint quote on that theme, and Father Wade's meditation on that theme of the day. Again, like accountability or commitment. It's meant to only be a 5 to 7 minute exercise each morning to begin your day over the course of 200 days. Why do I mention the book? Because my talks will filter through some daily themes of Stand Firm, Be Strong, A Men's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints, that help equip the men for this daily lived experience of their Catholic faith outside of the church house, outside of the parish grounds, how they live it in their home, how they live it in their place of business, their place of work. And that's why I wanted to mention the book briefly.
Father Wade, for me, a book like that is fresh bread, right? So the teachings of the church, they're the same. They're perennial on the one hand, but they're also ever ancient, ever new, right? Like the word of God, it's new. And so how do you draw out, how do you tease out newness from content that maybe guys have heard of? And honestly, it's a book like that. It's a book that allows you to say, hey, you might have heard the word accountability before, but let me associate it with this scripture, this saint, and then my own lived experience of it. I think that's so right. Powerful.
That's right. And you equip that way of thinking with a daily practice, like a daily devotional, like Stand Firm, Be Strong. You couple that with other items like the sacraments, a good, solid, regular monthly confession, for example, around First Friday, right? The 9 First Friday devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or around First Saturday, the 5 First Saturdays devotion in honor of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Monthly confession, you couple with a daily exercise like this, along with weekly Eucharist, if not maybe Eucharist one more time during the week, like on a Wednesday, you can know that your life is changing, God will bless that. God will bless those efforts that the man is carrying out on behalf of not only himself, but on behalf of wanting to be a better evangelizer to others, whether it be to his wife, his children, his university friends, his coworkers in his place of business. These are the things that are important.
Well, you know, Father Wade, and we're getting close to the end of our time together, but it strikes me it's a bit of a recovery of a traditional idea of identifying the major faults that I'm facing in my life, and then how do I tackle them? And, right. and this is, in a certain sense, is a way of helping to recover a sense of saying, this is a journey, and I need to fight that battle daily.
Yeah. You know, this is why our opening evening on the Friday, October 3rd, it's going to focus on confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, God's sacrament of mercy. And I always like to tell the men when I talk about confession, it is the sacrament of mercy, right? And mercy is who God is. It's love's second name. God is more interested in your future than he is in your past. He's more interested in the kind of person you can yet become than in the kind of person you used to be, right? While indeed taking your sins seriously, whether mortal or venial, your personal sins, God takes them seriously. Here's the thing. God never, ever, ever takes those sins of yours as the last word. Why? Because he knows he's made you in his image and likeness. He knows he calls you constantly to a life of his sanctifying grace. And he knows that he is your God who's larger than any sin you might ever commit, even the most hideous and wicked mortal sin. God is bigger than that. We Catholics don't believe that God's grace covers our sins like snow might cover a dunghill. We believe that God's grace literally removes the sins from the soul, okay? That's the difference between Catholicism and Protestantism when it comes to sin. And this is the message to get to the guys to help them transform their lives and turn their lives around with a weekend retreat like this.
Yeah, Father Wade, it's a huge gift. Guys, if you haven't been to the Inland Northwest Men's Retreat, you've got to go. It is a huge relief and release from pent up shame and guilt that sin makes us feel disgusted with ourselves, but encountering the mercy of God through powerful witnesses like Father Wade, Father Jimmy Peak, and even just the accompanying of the other men who are going to be with you are just a huge gift of refreshment and renewal for your spiritual life. So Father Wade, I want to thank you for coming on to talk about the retreat today. Father Jimmy Peak will be on. I'm going to have him on next month to help again Great. Promote the retreat. And again, be strong, stand firm, folks. The new book by Father Wade, an important
right.
daily journal, a handbook, for a manual for living out that battle of your life of faith. So, Father, thanks for that beautiful service.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. So I'm looking forward to this retreat. Sign up for it, guys. And by the way, great food at this retreat, right? Camp Luther Haven has a fantastic cafeteria staff and fantastic food. So if you're going to sign up for the retreat, sign up for the whole package. Make it a package deal. Once you arrive and you shut off your vehicle, your truck, whatever, your van, you don't turn it on again until you depart on Sunday. So don't be just a day attendee. You want to come and have the full experience on site at the bunkhouses, the cabins. You want to relax in the rocking chair in between the conferences that Father Peak and I are giving, where your rocking chair overlooks the river and the lake. You want to get the full package of this retreat.
Yeah, guys. And you know that I've been around for quite a while, and I've been to that retreat, I don't know how many times. It's a really powerful opportunity to experience renewal in your life of faith. You don't want to miss Father Wade and Father Peak this year, coming up October the 3rd to the 5th. Thank you, Father Wade, for being with me today.
Thank you, Tom. It's always great to be with you. God bless you, and God bless your good work with Catholic Radio.
Amen. Thank you. Hey, welcome back to the program. Well, wasn't that a great interview? I know we had limited time, and so I didn't have a chance to draw out a couple of things, but I love that Father Wade was able to just very smoothly, very clearly and cleanly identify the call that men have to lead, provide, and protect. That's not as common as you'd think. I say it all the time, but it's not a common way for Catholic speakers and teachers to be forming men in that vision. of what does it mean to lead versus provide versus protect? How do they blend together? How do we live this life of faith in a way that will bring in those different dimensions? So I'm excited to say, guys, go into that retreat. You're going to hear him. He's very systematic. One of the most systematic. I like to say he's one of the easiest interviews I ever do. I just throw him a softball and then he just hits a home run. He's got a lot of content and is very comfortable just like do the handoff. Like I say, toss him a softball. It's like handing him the ball and then he's going to run. He's going to run for it, break tackles and run for a touchdown. So he's one of the guys that is very easy for me to just get out of the way. I don't need to have a lot of back and forth with him. And I know that you'll hear rich, systematic teaching from Father Wade during the retreat. I also mentioned Father Jimmy Peake. He I'm going to have on as well to talk about the retreat. So you'll get to hear some more from him as well about what he'll be sharing during the retreat. And so that'll be a wonderful gift to be able to interview him as well. He's got a very rich background in the military and in Rome during the the elevation to the pontificate of Pope Benedict. So neat stories, I'm sure, that we'll be able to hear as well. So well, I'll be having him on again sometime in the next month as we get a little bit closer to the retreat so that we can kind of break that up a bit. All right. So continuing on, I have shared with you that I have 11 questions, 10 and a bonus question coming from ChatGPT. I know that AI, some people can, don't be put off by that, please. I wanted to be able to get a source of questions to generate insight out of me. And that can happen when there's a freshness and in the moment aspect to things. And this is allowing me to do that. And so please don't take offense. The goal here is to generate insight to be of service to you about married life, but not just married life, because married life is a way of living the call to be a disciple of Jesus and to become a saint to fulfill your God-given mission. And so I love this idea of questions that I don't even know what they are. I've gone through 6. Now, number 7 is about to come and we'll see what it is. And I'll read you the question and then dive in. Number 7, if you have children or extended family, how has marriage influenced your family dynamics? And what lessons have you learned from that? Oh, chat, if you only knew. If you have children or extended family, how has marriage influenced your family dynamics? And what lessons have you learned from that? Wow. Okay. So, yes, we have children, 9 children. In fact, what's interesting is last night at dinner, actually during our anniversary dinner on the 12th, the kids were asking us questions about marriage. We said, okay, hey, let's have a conversation. What do you want to know about our married life? And so the 4 kids that are that were at home, the 3 girls, the 16, 14, 13-year-olds, and then our 21-year-old, who's been working here this summer, really interesting questions. And they were asking, interestingly, a lot of questions about when they were younger and about our life in terms of having kids, because they knew, of course, that we had struggled to have children and that we had a number of miscarriages. And so the kids were talking about their brothers and sisters who have gone before them to be with the Lord through miscarriage. And so it was interesting to see how many of the kids' names they could remember and what order they were in and when they happened. And it was endearing to hear them talk about that. But that was a big deal. Just the reality of how we would talk to our kids about how we would talk to kids about our life together. And in terms of like the envision we had, because they asked us about our daughter who we adopted. And we adopted that daughter after our first child. And in the midst of a string of a period of our lives where we were experiencing miscarriages, which was so difficult, painful, there's just a lot of suffering there. And the amazing way that God broke in a way that was surprising to us, unexpected, and brought us into contact with the young lady who was pregnant and was choosing to give up her child for adoption to a Catholic family. And what a gift that was. And part of the gift was that in the mystery of God's plan, after we received her through adoption, that in fact we Carrie started to not only become pregnant but remain pregnant and give birth. And so there wasn't really a like clear physical, medical rationale for how it all unfolded and why it happened like that. But one of the gifts that our adopted daughter was used by God to bring into our lives was a new path to having other children be born into our family. And so you hear about that. You hear about couples who, once they adopt, then all of a sudden they begin to have children of their own. And it, you know, is it a psychological, emotional sense of being more calm or relaxed, knowing that God, in fact, is building your family, or whatever it was? Because Carrie was also pursuing sort of medical clarity about, was there something happening in her that was holding back the gift of a baby being born? And there was certainly insights there. So I want to say it was sort of a whole collage of impacts. But how have children impacted our family life? It's everything. I can tell you that Carrie and I, in the mystery of how we've lived our life regarding children, we are what are called providentialists. And I'm not saying that this is certainly not a requirement, but it's a potential gift. And so I want to share it with you, is that, of course, so Carrie and I never practiced any form of contraception. And we were always open to life. At the beginning of our married life, for the first handful of months, we practiced natural family planning. And after that period of time where we were hoping to conceive and it wasn't happening, and that was when we started to journey more into, wait a minute, what's going on here? We started to practice what I've heard labeled supernatural family planning as compared to natural family planning. Now it's more often called fertility awareness. And it's the idea of understanding more about the woman's body and the cycles, and how if you can understand that, then you can have a better insight into timing of when she is fertile and therefore able to conceive, et cetera. But after a handful of months in our married life, it was, you know what? We're going to trust in the Lord, supernatural family planning. And so we're going to live our married life, and we'll trust that we will conceive when God plans, and we'll have children in accord with God's plans. And we will be open to extend ourselves to what popes in papal teaching have often referred to as generosity. So the generosity of being open to have many children. And this is my encouragement to young couples. If you are open to, if you're discerning married life and you're still single, is consider, look into it yourself, please. It's supernatural family planning, providentialism, trusting that the Lord will provide. He'll be a father who is shockingly generous to you. Jesus will be the good shepherd of your lives. The Holy Spirit will prompt and move you in a way that will allow you to have a quiver full of arrows. That was a prayer of Carrie's brother over us in our married at our wedding, that we would be blessed with a quiver full of children. And yes, that happened, being blessed with 9 children. And if you ask my kids, nine kids in 13 years, just over 13 years, right? Just, 13 years and like 2 months, like just almost 12 years. The point is that if you ask them what the greatest gift we gave them in our family life, it was each other, right? I mean, of course it's their faith in the Lord, right? Their Catholic Christian faith, but in the words of John Paul II, the greatest gift in marriage is a child, and the greatest gift you give to a child is a sibling. I want to say, if you are open to that wisdom and insight, you'll discover that children are this supreme blessing. And when you can give kids siblings, and okay, just hear it gently, close in age, they will enjoy each other. They will be able to play together. They will be able to share common experiences and similar experiences. Just as a for instance, because my kids are close in age, several of them played on the same sports team, where one was playing a year up. So my oldest two played soccer together. My next two played soccer together. Those are four girls. My two boys played basketball together. My next two daughters played soccer together, and other sports as well. They were able to swim on the same swim team. Most of them, like seven of them, were swimming together on the same swim team. And it's just such an incredible gift to be able to have them be in a similar age where they can enjoy each other. And guess what? If one is not enjoying someone else, right, they're bickering being foolish in how they're treating each other, well, there's always someone else to go hang around with. There's always, and how many parents out there are saying, I want my home to be the home where kids want to come and hang out, right? And that's because you can help shape the environment, shape the tone, and shape the sense of what's actually occurring there. Thank you, Jesus, for Carrie, because we were that home. We were that home where the kids wanted to come. And the reason was, it was like family circus, right? There's lots of kids, lots of fun, lots of stuff going on. It's not boring, right? We didn't have the nicest house, but we had a lot of kids and a lot of fun and a lot of stuff that we could do together. And so honestly, it's thinking about it now, my kids are like each other's best friends, right? The older kids and even all the way down to the younger kids, they spend time together. And so, but it does require a commitment, an effort, a commitment of your time and energy to foster that, to teach the kids to have room in their hearts and minds for each other, to teach their kids to learn how to reconcile when they are trespassing in each other's lives, raising up a vision of kids seeking the Lord and the life of faith together. These are critical components that will allow the kids to have that like elasticity where if they're stretching apart, they'll be pulled back together. So far, but no guarantees as life goes forward, but so far, one of the greatest joys that Carrie and I are grateful to the Lord for in our married life is the way that our kids have been able to walk together in life.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Hey, last thing I'll say about this is about kids is that really does happen that as I've gotten older, I find more joy in my kids' success than in my own, really investing in them. And the sports analogy is probably the easiest one, which is I enjoy so much seeing them succeed on the field, and I'm cheerleading them from the stands. That for me is such a source of joy in my kids' lives. And that could be a metaphor for life, right? Cheering them on from the sidelines or from the stands as they are moving forward in life. That does become a tremendous source of fulfillment in my own life. Okay. Let's see. My goodness. Okay. I have a handful of minutes here. I'm going to dive into the next question. Here we go. What's one piece of advice you'd give to newlyweds based on your experience? What's one piece of advice you could give to newlyweds based on your experience? And this is funny. It says this could tie into broader insights on commitment or patience. I wonder why those have been identified in particular. Broader insights on commitment and patience somehow connected to being newlyweds. And actually, you know what? Both of those words are very meaningful to me. In particular, commitment related to the gospel, Matthew 7, 24 to 27, which is that, again, I talked about it yesterday in, or is it 2 days ago now? 2 days ago, talking about the gospel at our wedding. And I would say this to couples getting married, piece of advice, if you're newly married, that the most, I would ask the question, what's the most commitment at work in your married life? What is the most important commitment at work in your married life? And it's interesting because it's not your commitment to your wife or your spouse or your spouse's commitment to you. That is not, it's an important commitment, but it's not the most important commitment at work in your marriage. And then you'll say, oh, yeah, Tom, I know, of course, because this is a faith-based program, it's going to be your commitment to Christ, your commitment to Christ the Rock. And I want to say, yes, that's a very important commitment, your commitment to Christ, your wife's commitment or your spouse's commitment to Christ. Those are also really fundamental and important commitments in marriage, but it's not the most important commitment at work in your marriage. And then people get a little bit puzzled. It's like, well, then what is the most important commitment at work in our marriage? And the most important, the most fundamental, the most essential commitment at work in your marriage is not your commitment to each other or your commitment to Christ. It's Christ's commitment to you. Christ's commitment to you is the most important commitment at work in your marriage. That's what it means to say that he's the rock in your married life. He's committed to speaking to you, the words, the teaching. He's committed to pouring out his life for you. This is my body given for you. That's his commitment to you. Right there. The nuptial mass, the vows are said before the altar. Why? It's reminiscent of, it's evocative of, it is resonant with, it is conveying a connection to the sacrifice of Christ of his entire life on the cross for our salvation. That commitment makes possible all the other commitments. That commitment underlies, undergirds, and is the source of my being faithful to my commitment to him. And that then will overflow into my capacity to be faithful to Carrie. And so I have shared this insight for decades to young married couples, to lean on Jesus Christ, look to him. And I'm saying this in quotes, remind him, bring back to his attention the fact that on your wedding day, he committed himself to you. And therefore, you're desperate in turning back to him, and you're confident in turning back to him, and you're expectant in turning back to him, and you're eager in turning back to him, and you have this sense of great desire as you turn back to him for him to be faithful to his promise, faithful to his commitment. He will give you what you need, no matter the trial, no matter the difficulty. That's so crucial. That is so powerful and important. So that would be the first That would be the first word when it's like, oh, maybe this will help you give broader insights on commitment or patience. And it is a broader insight. It's not just that that this idea of Christ's commitment to you is at work in married life. It's in any call. It's in the totality of our lives. So it's that important. And then the other one was broader insights into commitment or patience. And I have found that also very valuable. The second reading we had at our wedding, which was the hymn of love, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. And it goes on from there. But the insight is this, is that I have found that when you have a challenge in marriage, or and a challenge related to a diminishment of love, right? I think of like the capacity we have to live self-sacrificial love is like a gas tank, and you've got to fill it up. You've got to receive that love so that you can pour that love out. And when you are running short, when you're running out of gas, the gas of love, it will manifest itself, first of all, as a diminishment and lack of patience and kindness. So that love is patient, love is kind is not simply a poetic choice to begin with this one or that one. But in my experience, there's also something highly relevant from a lived experience standpoint that when I'm struggling to love Carrie or she, me, or we, our kids, or vice versa, it manifests itself principally, or first of all, in a lack of patience and in a lack of kindness. So there's the insight. When I come back, I'll answer the rest of the question. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. I'm sharing with you in the last short segment I have here, my last piece of advice I'd give to newlyweds based on my experience, 31 years married to Carrie. I would say this, I'm going to give a piece of wisdom, hopefully, or guidance or counsel to husbands and then to wives and then to both of them, really. The first to husbands, the fundamental importance of honesty in your married life. And by honesty, I don't just mean not lying. Of course, I mean not lying. But when I talk about honesty, I'm really talking about transparency, the value and importance of being transparent. And another way that I'll say this when I speak to men's conferences is that when men are faced with a sin or sins that have the potential to really weaken, diminish, damage, or break their relationship to their wives, it'll manifest itself in a sin that is attempting to hide. And so I'll say to guys, I'll say, the weak spot, the dangerous spot, the place in your life that is most vulnerable to potentially harming your married life is the part that you want to hide. So don't hide. Don't hide. Live honestas. Honestas is honesty, right? In Latin, it also means to stand up, to stand in visibility. It's to come out under the bright light of the sun. It's being willing to be seen. It's not hiding. And I have found that guidance so helpful. The place in my life where I'm hiding is the place in my life that is at risk and is potentially dangerous. So next, for women, hilaritas. And I share that on behalf of Carrie. Because one of the great gifts Carrie has brought to our married life is not taking herself too seriously. A woman is building a nest, building a home, and can have a lot of concerns and is an engine inside the home in so many ways. But the ability to not take herself too seriously, to laugh at herself and laugh at what's happening, is a huge gift in married life. A huge gift. And so I have found that when I come to carry out of a sense of honestas, that fosters in her a willingness to express hilaritas, to not take herself too seriously, to not take what's happening so seriously. So it gives her the capacity to let go rather than hold on. And boy, that can be so hard in a married relationship where there can be conflict and real challenge. Then here's my word for the newlywed couple, for the couple together, and that is that what manifests itself in the environment, the atmosphere, the culture of your home is more deeply rooted in what is unseen than what is seen. And so what I mean is, it's hard to overestimate or overstate the importance of your hidden life with God. The hidden way that you will pray, fast, die to self, give up stuff, take on penances. These things will provide, protect, and help guide your family. It'll create a flowing river in your home that will carry your family forward. And your family won't even be able to identify. The family will have a sense of, oh, well, we're really moving forward in this beautiful sort of flow of life together as a family. And yes, of course, it's rooted to a certain degree in what's visible, the way that you actually live your lives together. But it's also traced back to the hidden life, the life of you praying the rosary and fasting and never telling them about it, hours of adoration, never telling them about it, getting up early, never telling them about it, cold showers, never telling them about it. It has such a power to create that atmosphere that is godly in your home. There you go. There's my final word. All right, but I'm up against the end of my program.